You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello, Kool-Aids. Welcome to the Barca Talk podcast. I'm your host, Gabriel Quiroga, here in Paris. Actually, I'm still traveling around this month, so I'm currently in Paris trying to stay cool in this heat wave that seems to be following me from Madrid. But in today's show, I am joined by Ben Hayward, who has become a friend of the show. He's a journalist, and he has some great insight on La Liga, so I thought it'd be a great chance to catch up with him and get a quick La Liga preview, especially with the start of the season coming up this weekend as Barcelona face Rayo Vallecano. Before we get to that quick conversation, we recorded this this afternoon. This is Friday. Ben was actually on the road at a train station, so there is some background noise there, but I tried to clean it up as best I could. So hopefully it doesn't take away from the awesome insights that he has on La Liga. Last thing, just wanted to highlight our Patreon community. If you think you want to support the podcast, think about joining our Patreon community. It's only $5 a month. In it, we have our WhatsApp community that is worldwide, a lot of fun. We also have added a weekly trivia, and also you get commercial feed podcasts as well. So if you want to join, click on the show notes, or just visit our website or social media. Without further ado, here is my conversation with Ben Hayward.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So I'm joined by Ben Hayward, one of my favorite football journalists. He's on the road right now, so you can hear the background noise. He was nice enough to join us at Victoria Station. Ben, how's it going?
Hi, Gabriel. How are you doing? Always a pleasure, man.
Yeah, so I wanted to get you on because we have La Liga starting. I don't know if it's finally starting. I don't know how you're feeling, especially with no World Cup. It feels like the summer's been kind of empty without football, but I'm definitely really excited about La Liga starting this weekend. And I wanted to get you on to kind of get your insights about other teams outside of Barcelona. Obviously, we'll talk a little Barcelona, but how are you feeling about the start of La Liga?
Yeah, no, good, man. It seems like it's been a while, doesn't it? You know, since we've had La Liga, Spanish football. So, yeah, I'm happy that it's all starting again. Obviously, other leagues have already got underway, Premier League and France, Bundesliga, etc. So, yeah, happy to have La Liga back, definitely.
Yeah, and Barcelona plays Rayo Vallecano this weekend on Saturday, so that'll be exciting to see. You know, first and foremost, if Barcelona can get those players registered for the match, I don't think they're going to be able to do it, but we'll see what Xavi lines up. But just really quick, what do you think of the moves that Barcelona have been able to do this offseason?
Well, you know, amazing for a club that's 1 billion plus euros in debt to be able to bring in those kind of players. Incredible, really. I think they've done really well. I think they're great signings, particularly Lewandowski. I think he's going to be fantastic. I think Rafinha is very exciting. Winger, obviously wanted by a number of Premier League clubs as well. Kessié, I like. I think they're going to be very good. And renewing Dembélé, I think, also is very important. And obviously something that Xavi spoke about even from his very first press conference, something that he wanted to do. It looked like it wasn't going to happen. And then obviously they've reached an agreement for him to stay two more years. I think Barcelona have done really well. You know, it's risky because they've had to sell off, you know, some big chunk of their future TV rights. Their in-house production company, I've just read that they're activating another lever probably today in order to register all of their players. So I think they're going to be able to register them all in time. It's very last minute. It's risky. But if it comes off, I think it could be spectacular. And I think it's a step up definitely from the squad that Xavi had last season.
Yeah. And as we're recording, it literally just happened. So he did activate, it seems, the fourth lever. And we always joke around in Barca Twitter and so forth in our community that, you know, we imagine Laporta in the steam room, like pulling these levers, you know, for these economic palancas. You know, that's how I imagine it. But it seems that they just activated. So, like you said, if this happens, they'll be able to register those players. So I kind of want to just go through La Liga as a whole landscape and just kind of want to go through some of the teams and some of the things, the news that I've kind of mentioned. The first one is obviously Real Madrid. Real Madrid last season pulled the double with winning La Liga and obviously the Champions League. Would you say it's a two-team race between Barcelona and Madrid for La Liga title?
I think it is, Gabriel, because if you look at Atletico, they haven't really done much this summer in terms of strengthening. They had a very disappointing season last season, when, you know, which they went into as champions and with what looked like a very good chance to defend their title. A lot of people, when Ancelotti took over at Real Madrid, didn't expect Real Madrid to have a good season. Obviously, it turns out to be the opposite. Barcelona under Koeman obviously initially struggled and then were way off the pace by the time that Xavi took over. So I think last season was very disappointing from Atletico. And I can't really see them improving massively upon that. Obviously, Luis Suarez has left. Morata's gone back. But they haven't done a great deal in the transfer market to make me think that they're going to challenge. So I think it's a two-horse race again for La Liga this time around, Barcelona and Madrid.
Yeah, it's quite interesting because when I first arrived to Spain, Madrid was always the drama and the off-season rumors were always happening with Madrid. And now that's kind of flipped now because Madrid has been relatively quiet in that department, I would say in the last 2 to 3 seasons pretty much, you know, obviously with the Gareth Bale saga that always seemed to continue. But I think, you know, especially this summer, we're just kind of making some really nice signings with Rudiger, especially. I think that is going to be a really nice fit for them. I think, you know, it's definitely going to be theirs to lose. And I think Barcelona has a lot to do, you know, especially with the players that they're signing, for Xavi to find the real starting 11 going forward. That's going to take some time. And I think if Madrid, as we've seen in the Super Cup this past week, they just know when to get into gear and score those crucial goals and just get victories.
Yeah, no, I do see that. Obviously, Real Madrid, you talk about the summer signings, you know, they've only made two, really, with Rudiger, who you mentioned, and Tchouaméni, who I think is going to be a very exciting player for them. It's because, I guess, they have found some stability, you know, the last few years. They've been, obviously, last season they won the Champions League, but they've been doing well in La Liga. Ancelotti brings this kind of peace, really, and stability to the club, as well as all his experience and his tactical nous as well. I just think that, obviously, they come into the season, they've won 4 trophies already in 2022, the Supercopa, La Liga, Champions League, and now the Super Cup. So, yeah, why shouldn't they be favourites? They have all that stability, which they haven't probably had, you know, in years gone by, which is why they're scrambling to sign lots of players in the summer when they were playing catch-up with Barca. And now it's Barca playing catch-up with Madrid, and it's Barca who've signed, you know, 5 players this summer, and, you know, renewed the contract of a couple of others. But I don't know. You know, Real Madrid won La Liga last season with 86 points, and obviously way ahead of Real Madrid, way ahead of Atletico and Sevilla. But, you know, with Barca stepping up this season, which I think they will, given their squad improvements, given that Xavi now has probably the kind of squad that he would have wanted to have from the very start, but, you know, taking over mid-season last season without the ability to bring in new players was difficult, and they were way behind, of course. now. I think they're probably going to get off to a strong start. Obviously, as you say, you know, they'll need to find their way, find the best 11. But the, you know, preseason has been positive. The Gamper, they scored some incredible goals. I think it's exciting for Barca. They have real options, and you know, Madrid, I think, will need to step up themselves if they want to win La Liga this season. And Casemiro hinted at that the other night after the Super Cup. He said that, you know, they'll have to do even better. 86 points, probably not going to be enough this season if Barca are as good as I expect them to be. And if you look at Ancelotti's record as a league manager, it seems crazy to say it. Of course, he's the only manager ever to have won all of Europe's top five leagues, you know, Spain, France, Italy, Germany and France. And he's won one of each, which is very impressive. But you're talking in a coaching career spanning more than 25 years now at some of the biggest clubs in Europe. I still think there's a question mark over his league record. Obviously, he's won the Champions League four times. His record in cup competitions is outstanding as well. But in a league, there are some question marks still over his record, over the intensity week in, week out to grind out results. You haven't seen an Ancelotti team, you know, win 100 points, for example, or 95 points to claim a league title. So if Barcelona are really strong this season and are pushing the standards up even higher, I think Real Madrid might find it difficult to live with that. And of course, they're very reliant upon Karim Benzema once again. You know, extraordinary year that he's had. But if for any reason he's out, I still think they're in a bit of trouble, really.
Yeah, it's a great point on the Ancelotti record, especially his career spanning more than 20 years like that. The other thing, too, is I think with the Pichichi Award, I think Lewandowski and Benzema are going to be pushing each other. We could see one of those career years and goal scoring, you know, for La Liga, for these players, especially trying to, you know, outnumber each other essentially every weekend. So I think that's going to be exciting for fans of both teams. And like you said, I think the dependency on Benzema is supreme. And like you said, if anything happens to him, especially, you know, with older age, I know he's in great shape, but if anything happens where he's limited or, you know, injured for more than five matches, then all of a sudden it becomes Vinicius dependent. And I don't know if he's can do it all by himself. So that's going to be curious to see. And like always with these two teams, it's all about fast starts and who can maintain that pace for the rest of the season. Now, if we talk about the top four, is there any surprising team that can make the jump, like Villarreal? Do you see a Villarreal situation where they could maybe make the fold in the top four? Or do you think it's going to be something like Sevilla, Barca, Madrid, and Atletico Madrid?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Gabriel. I think, you know, just to add one point previously on what you said about Benzema, and this applies to Lewandowski as well, and lots of different players. There's a World Cup in the middle of the season. You know, Benzema for years and years and years wasn't playing international football. Now he's got a World Cup in the middle of the season. So that could have an effect as well. We'll have to see. But as you say, he keeps himself supremely fit. So, yeah, Real Madrid will be hoping that he stays fit, because as we saw in the Clásico last season, when he's not playing, it's a very, very different Real Madrid. Moving on to your next question, though. Yeah, I do see Villarreal having a stronger season. I think last season was disappointing in terms of La Liga. They finished seventh. They, I suppose, were distracted by their, you know, deep run in the Champions League, which was historic, you know, for a club like Villarreal. And you know, why not? Because it's not every year you get the chance to go all the way to the semi-finals of the Champions League. So I think they'll do better this season. They were without Gerard Moreno for a long, big chunk of time last season. He's their best player. So if he stays fully fit this season, I do think they'll do better. They're in the Europa Conference League this season, but that's not going to be a big distraction like the Champions League. So yeah, I expect them to challenge for the Champions League spots, definitely. And yeah, I think Sevilla might find it difficult this season. They've lost their two first-choice centre-backs, Koundé, obviously, to Barcelona, and Diego Carlos to Aston Villa. And, you know, that partnership was so important for them. had a difficult time in pre-season. They got, you know, thrashed by Arsenal 6-0 a couple of weeks ago. And so I could potentially see Sevilla dropping down out of the top four. And I think there's a place there to be had, maybe for Villarreal, maybe for Athletic. Obviously, Ernesto Valverde is back. And, you know, club legend. It's going to be very interesting to see how they can do, even though it's essentially the same squad, because they can't really sign any players due to their Basque-only policy. But, yeah, I think there's a place there perhaps to be up for grabs. And, yeah, perhaps Villarreal, perhaps Athletic. It'd be interesting to see if Real Sociedad can challenge as well. They often start the season well, but tend to fade. But they're another likeable team who could do well. And Betis, who was so good last season, perhaps in the mix as well, though they've had a bit of a difficult summer.
Yeah, that was going to be my next team I wanted to highlight, with Sevilla, because, you know, Sevilla is always on the cusp of that top four where they do really well in the UEFA, you know, tournaments, as, you know, we saw with in the last couple of years winning those titles. But man, this offseason has been really weird. They lose, obviously, Conde and their center back pairing. They haven't replaced that. Monchi basically backed Lopetegui. I'm not the biggest fan of Lopetegui. I just don't see, I don't know. I have a lot of issues with him, but that's for another topic. But the other thing, too, is the Isco signing. I like Isco as a player. I think he's an exciting player. I just don't know how he's going to fit in this Sevilla team. And I still think he's going to be a little bit lost this season. And like you said earlier, with World Cup coming up, everyone needs playing time, right? This is the first time that World Cup is inside the season. And most of these players are just looking for opportunities and playing time. And I don't know if Isco is the right fit at Sevilla. What do you think about that signing? Was it a head scratcher for you? Because I thought maybe Isco could go to, Betis, for example. Like if he would have gone to Betis, I would have said, wow, that's okay. More offensive, like he wouldn't have to do anything defensively. Like he'd fit pretty well in Betis. But with Sevilla, I don't know. I just don't see it. What are your thoughts on that sign?
No, I can definitely see your point in terms of work rate and defensive contribution. Isco wouldn't necessarily be a player who you would think would fit in well to this Sevilla side. But you have to remember, of course, that Isco was a key player for Lopetegui in his Spain side, and was, you know, playing perhaps his best football if you go back to before the 2018 World Cup. Obviously, Lopetegui lost his job on the eve of the tournament when the announcement was made that he was going to Real Madrid the next season. And everything went wrong for Spain in that World Cup. But in the build-up to that World Cup, Isco was very, very important. He played wonderfully in that friendly against Argentina in Madrid, in the build-up to that World Cup. And then he was, you know, quite a key player for Lopetegui at Real Madrid as well, even though things didn't go well there. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a bit of a change of style, but many Sevilla fans are unhappy at the way that Sevilla play, thinking that they're over-defensive, that they don't like the style of football. So those kind of rumbles of discontent could definitely grow if Sevilla, you know, it's all right when they're winning matches, when they're, you know, in the Champions League positions, when they're challenging for trophies. But if, results dip and the football's still not exciting, then I'm not sure what's going to happen. I don't know exactly how Isco's going to fit in, but I am quite excited to see him in that Sevilla side. I think he's still got a lot to offer. And as I say, Lopetegui's a big fan. They've linked up well before, so it could work.
Yeah, and especially with the last two seasons, he hasn't really played anything, so he'll be looking to definitely get all the minutes that are available there. Really quick with Athletic Bilbao, obviously with the return of Ernesto Valverde as head manager there, do you see them fighting for the fourth place? Because, you know, I always have this weird little theory with Bilbao, especially as you mentioned with the Basque-only players, that every time they have a new manager, that first season, they perform really, really well, optimal. And then after those years, they kind of have a hard time returning to that optimal form under that manager. Now, I know Ernesto Valverde already has managed some of these players before in his previous tenure there at Bilbao. Do you see them coming out of the gate, especially with their style, their system, and so forth, battling for that fourth place position this year?
Yeah, first of all, Gabriel, I will say that this may not be a popular view among all of Barcelona's fans, but I do think Ernesto Valverde is a great coach. And I know he was massively criticized at Barcelona for the style of play, different reasons. But you know, I do think he was working. He found probably the best way of working with what he had. You know, it was difficult with an aging Messi and an aging Suarez in that same team. They were successful. They had their disappointments, of course, in the Champions League, the one back-to-back league titles. And he's a legend, as I mentioned, at Athletic, at San Mamés. And so I think he's going to obviously win the respect of the players, some of whom, as you mentioned, he will have worked with before. And others, if he hasn't worked with them before, then they were probably coming through the youth system. So I would say he knows, you know, pretty much all of them. And he's very popular with the fans, with everyone at the club. I think that style of play, which was perhaps criticised at Barcelona, at Athletic, you know, that's the way they play, you know, traditionally and historically. That kind of football, which was a little bit grating with Barca fans, perhaps. Athletic fans, you know, will be happy with a hard working side, with, you know, quick transitions, counter-attacking football. And I do think, yeah, as you say, sometimes when a new manager comes in at Athletic, the first season is very positive. I think he can have that effect. I think they're outsiders for a top four position. You know, because of their policy of signing Basque only players, but I do think they have a chance with Sevilla potentially struggling as we mentioned. So I think along with Villarreal, Athletic do have a shot at top four and definitely top six. And you know, that would be a really good story, I think.
Yeah, I mean, again, we as you said, Valverde is a good coach. I still am jaded by what he did in the Champions League. But yes, you are right. I mean, back-to-back La Liga titles and all that. Now, the next team I wanted to highlight is Valencia.
He's probably still jaded by what happened at Barca, yeah, too. In the end, I think the break has probably done him the world
for sure
of good. Yeah.
I don't know if you saw him during his break, but he grew a full-on beard.
Yeah, he had a photo exhibition. He grew a beard. He talks about coach in Australia and different places, but I'm sure that he's refreshed and it'll be nice for him to be back somewhere where he's, you know, truly appreciated, I would say.
Yeah, you have a point there. I mean, again, Barcelona can chew you up and spit you out like nothing. So yeah, you definitely need the time to refresh. And I think he is the perfect fit for that team in Bilbao. So we'll see what they do. The next team I want to go over is Valencia. And, you know, I sent you some of the questions I wanted to go over and I just had them there. What are Valencia doing? I mean, I don't understand. You know, I want Valencia to be good in La Liga because I like the rivalries that it's happened. You know, when I started watching La Liga, Valencia was really a powerhouse, one of the powerhouses in La Liga. And ever since, you know, in the last, you know, 5 to 6 years, they've been a non-team, you know, especially like when you talk about the Gary Neville issue. The owners, the players that have come through there. And now with this hiring of Gattuso as manager, I mean, I have no clue of what Valencia is doing going forward.
That's right. Well, you know, it hasn't even been 5 years. If you go back to, you know, 2019, they won the Copa del Rey against Barcelona, which you will remember well. I was at the game in Seville, and they qualified for the Champions League that season as well under Marcelino. Then, shortly after that, a few months down the road, Marcelino is sacked. And, you know, ever since then, they've been back to the chaos. And it seems to follow them around. But, you know, they don't seem to know when they're onto a good thing. Even last season, had some signs of stability with Bordalas. Okay, it was the football was kind of industrial, let's be honest. But they had some stability there. They reached the cup final, and now he's gone. And Gattuso, is he really the right choice?
No,
you
he's
know,
not.
He seems
I can tell
like,
you that.
You know, he seems he's an explosive character. He seems like a bit of a ticking time bomb, shall we say? And that just I suppose sums up Valencia where they are at the moment. They're a huge club. They've had success. You know, apart from Barcelona, Real Madrid, Atletico, you know, they were the last team to win La Liga. And you know, and it was like, okay, you're going back 20 years now almost. But not that long ago, they've got good pedigree in the Champions League. They've got an amazing stadium. You know, yeah, it's a shame to see them where they are because, you know, they should be competing at least to be in the Champions League. And this season, I just don't see that. I think they were ninth last year. And yeah, I think they'll do well even to match that this season, honestly. And who knows whether Gattuso will even last this season. It's a soap opera, let's be honest.
Nah, I mean, if I were betting on his staying for the season, I would put, you know, at least 1,000 that he wouldn't, because, I mean, you could definitely, I mean, like you said, he's a ticking time bomb, and especially with the language barrier, there's going to be issues going on all the time. He's going to get so upset. He's going to be one of those managers this season when watching La Liga, and especially El Día Después, you know, on that show, that they're just going to highlight all the jumping jacks that he does during the sidelines of these matches. He's just a clown out there, you know, for the theatrics. Now, if he puts some of that, you know, because as a player, you know, when I think of him as a player, he was, to me, I think of him as like the workhorse, the engine of that midfield, and he was really great at that, you know. But I don't think of him as like a tactical genius or a tactical captain in the way he managed players' egos, you know, and that's what you have to do as a manager. And I just, you know, I, especially in his opening conference, press conference, the way he just, you know, just comes in with a, you know, blaze of fire coming in here, you know, and just saying, you know, all the things that he's, oh man, it's just crazy. And if I were a Valencia fan, I'd be pretty upset about it because like you said, when I think of Valencia, I think of the glory years, the stadium filled, the rivalries and all this stuff. And they're an important team for La Liga. And when they're not performing at a supreme level, it suffers. It suffers for sure. Really quick.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, one thing to add to that is that, you know, any coach of Valencia, be it Gattuso, Bordalas, Marcelino, whoever, with these owners, with everything that's going on, the chaos surrounding the stadium, players' contracts being run down, disappointments in the transfer market, all sorts of things. There's plenty for the managers to get upset with at Valencia. So in that respect, you know, we'll have to see what happens with Gattuso. It's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's going to be the favorite of the Chiringuito show and the Día Después show. I mean, he's going to be an all-time favorite. Really quick before we close out, we have a question from one of our patrons, Carlos, and he just asks, who do you think will be the underachieving club of this season, you know, for this La Liga season? And when I saw this question about underachieving, the first team I think of all the time and every time is Celta. I don't know why, because when they play Barca and they play these top-tier teams, they give these top-tier teams a ride, but they're just not consistent enough. They have talent, but I feel like they always underachieve. And even this, you know, last season, they were battling for relegation. And this season, who knows what's going to happen. But whenever I think of underachieving La Liga teams, they're like the first one I think of. What about you?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I have some notes here, and you know, in preparation for this conversation. And with Sevilla, we've spoken about as potentially dropping out of the top four. The other team I was going to mention was Celta as well. Yeah. As you say, you know, they've, on their day, they can beat anyone. They've given Barca a tough game on a number of occasions over the last few years. But their summer has been chaotic. You know, they've lost several key players. I think they've only got one striker left at the club. All right, it's Iago Aspas. But can you keep relying upon Iago Aspas year in, year out? You know, he's 35 now, I believe. There's no Nolito. There's no Bryce Mendes. There was the fallout with Denis Suarez and the you know, the feud between him and the president. It's chaos. It's a club in chaos. They haven't strengthened as they should have. And I do see them potentially struggling this season. And it's a club that you hope will never go down. I personally think that maybe as a Barca fan, you do hope they will go down because they always give Barca such a tough game. But personally, they're a club that I like a lot. And I do think they're in for a tough season, though.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's so much potential for that team, especially when I watch them play. But then week in, week out, I just see them lose to Getafe, for example, at home. And that just shouldn't be, you know? And again, like I said, when I think of underachieving, it's definitely Celta. Just to finish our conversation, are there any players that you're watching for maybe some young players. I'll give you mine. Mine's not really anyone's that no one's ever heard of, but I really want to see João Félix make the leap this season. I think, you know, obviously in the past seasons, he's been getting more playing time. It's been inconsistent, you know, for the big matches. But I really think that Diego Simeone needs to really bank on João Félix being the full-time starter and really utilize him to the max. Because if he can take that next level, he is a player that I'm excited to watch in La Liga. For example, if I'm flipping through the TV channels and I see João Félix playing, he's a player that I definitely want to watch. So I want to see him make the leap for the next level. How about you? Any players that you're watching for?
Yeah, first of all, Gabriel, absolutely correct. I agree 100%. I think João Félix is a player who could have gone anywhere. You know, he could have gone to pretty much any club in Europe, and he was wanted by a number of other top clubs. All right, Atletico went and paid the money, 126 million euros, I think it was, in the end, to sign him from Benfica. That's a huge transfer fee. It makes him one of the most expensive players in history. And let's be honest, we've only seen that intermittently, haven't we, so far? We've seen flashes of brilliance, 21 goals, I think it is, so far. But he hasn't even been, you know, first choice all of the time. He's been up and down. And yeah, Atletico, if they are to step up this season, if they are to challenge Barcelona and Real Madrid for La Liga, to improve in the Champions League as well after, you know, disappointing couple of seasons in Europe, then he is absolutely key for them, 100%. And, you know, I do think tactically as well, you know, Simeone could perhaps give him a bit more freedom. It's a constant dilemma, isn't it, for Atletico? But, you know, people asking every year for Simeone to play a bit more attacking. He always tries to, and then results don't go so well, and he goes back a little bit to his more defensive ideas, which is his bread and butter. But it's a big year for João Félix, because this is his fourth season now. I think he's starting at Atletico. Yeah. We haven't quite seen that. So yeah, apart from him, I'm excited to see again. Not a new player, not a young player, but Morales, a player who I always mention, I think, when we talk. He's been such a great player for Levante. Obviously, they were relegated last season. Now he's at Villarreal. I think he could be one to watch going into that exciting team at Villarreal. Barca, obviously, there are several. Who we've mentioned, Lewandowski and Rafinha. Koundé, of course, as well. Castellanos at Girona, obviously top scorer in MLS for the last 2 years. Well, up until he left anyway to sign for Girona. You know, that's maybe an interesting one to look at. Can he replicate that form in La Liga? You know, Girona are obviously very reliant upon Stuani for goals in Segunda and when they were in La Liga a few seasons ago. So can Castellanos do it in La Liga? I think that's a very interesting signing. And yeah, aside from that, who have I got here? Tchouaméni at Real Madrid. I think it's a very exciting signing as well. I think Real Madrid's midfield, Casemiro, Modric, Kroos, they've been there for so long. But, you know, the transition has started. We saw it with Camavinga. We've seen it with Fede Valverde. Now they've got Tchouaméni as well. It's looking like a much more modern, much more dynamic midfield now when they need it to be. So I think he's going to be a very interesting player to watch this season. And, yeah, an exciting one. Overall, apart from Real Madrid and Barcelona, there haven't been many new players coming into La Liga this season. It's mostly players changing from one club to another. I guess that's because of the lack of funds available compared to the Premier League and compared to other leagues. There are some interesting players and some interesting stories. I think Espanyol could be in for a good season. Diego Martinez's coach, I mean, he did great work at Granada. If he can reproduce that kind of work at Espanyol, I think they could be in for a mid-table finish, maybe improving on last season, maybe outsiders for Europe. And I think Almeria as well could be one to watch. But yeah, just excited for it all to get going, really.
Yeah, I mean, you know, with the previews that, you know, we do and we talk and we look and everything, it just, anything's possible, right? I mean, that I think that's the beauty of the preseason and before the start of the season. You just, you know, anything's possible. And especially if you're a team like Almeria, you're just trying to survive and anything's possible. You're in the show. You're in La Liga, right? And can you survive another year here to stay up? You know, that's going to be their you know, their championship, essentially. And like you said, those are great players to watch for. Again, the midfield of Madrid, like you said, making that transition. I'm really scared of Camavinga. I think he's a stud. And, man, he's going, if he continues in the trend that he's going to be not only a superstar for Madrid, but also for the French national team. And, you know, the French national team, they don't need more quality midfielders. They already have a stacked team, you know? So, anyway.
I agree. He's very, very impressive. And I think Tchouaméni will be also. And, that's ominously for Barca. But Barca are looking very strong this season. And, yeah, as you say, I mean, anything can happen. You know, there's going to be a bunch of narratives throughout the season. There'll be surprises. And that's why we'll love it. I think Getafe also, just to mention, Luis Milla, they've signed from Granada. I think that's another potentially exciting signing. He's a very tidy midfield player. And so many things.
I know.
Jimmy Avila, looking forward to it, man.
yeah, me too. You wrote a La Liga preview. Where can our listeners read that?
Yeah, it's just gone up actually on it's an app called FootMob. It's FUTMOB. I'll be posting it on my Twitter shortly, and I'll be writing weekly pieces, reacting to. To what's happened every weekend on Mondays or Tuesdays. So keep an eye out for those. And keep an eye out for my on my Twitter, BG Hayward. And I'll be posting. I've been quite quiet actually on social media for a while, pretty much all summer. But I'll be back writing about La Liga this season regularly. So I'm looking forward to that too.
Yeah, you were pulling a Valverde. You were refreshing. You grew a full beard to get ready for the season. That's why.
I'm not sure I could even grow a full beard. But yeah, even now. But yeah, very excited about La Liga and being back in Spain shortly as well, hopefully.
Awesome. That's great news. Well, Ben, thanks for joining me to take time away from your busy schedule at the Vitoria Station. And we'll talk soon this season.
Absolute pleasure, Gabriel. Abrazo. See you soon.
Podcast Network.